What a great song as a lead-in, because our theme today is remembering our baptisms. And the scripture we're going to take a look at is Romans chapter 6. It's page 799 in your pew Bible if you want to follow along. Romans 6, page 799, dead to sin and alive in Christ. Paul here talks about baptism not just as a one-time event, but as a daily dying and rising, dying to sin, rising in Christ. So it says there, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So we're beginning a series on the seven habits of Jesus. It's based on a book by Robert Schmalzli, who's a Lutheran theologian. And we hope to, in the Wednesday after Easter, to even go into deeper. It's a book that has worksheets where you can fill out and kind of go into this in depth. But I thought we'd talk about, what does the Bible say we should remember? The Bible tells us to remember things. What are some things that the Bible tells us we ought to remember? Anybody? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And when we remember the Sabbath, what do we remember about the Sabbath? That God created the world, that he rested, that we should remember him. So in remembering the Sabbath, we're also remembering God. What else are we commanded to remember?
Remember the widows and the poor.
Remember the poor, absolutely. So we're commanded, remember those around you who don't have it as well as you do. If you've been blessed, that goes all the way back to Abraham. If you've been blessed to be a blessing. So if you're in a position of blessing, it's not to hoard, but it's to be a blessing. So those are two things. All right, looking up on the altar there, what's another thing that we are commanded to remember? Holy Communion. Holy Communion. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembering the night our Lord was betrayed. Remembering the cross. Commanded to do that, to remember that. What are the Jews commanded to remember in the Old Testament? It's so important that they're commanded to remember. Passover. And this is how you will do it every year. You know, you'll eat these foods in this manner, in this order, and so you will remember how God has been gracious to you. So all of those things are ways that we remember. What do you, on our stained glass window, what do we remember? The covenant with the rainbow. God says, I will no more ever destroy the earth by a flood or destroy creation. We are to remember the covenant of God. So that's one of the things that God says is part of who we are, is the process of remembering. Remembering how great God is and remembering what he's done for us, remembering what he calls us to do. And so we're encouraged in this book, The Seven Habits of Jesus, is to remember our baptisms. And Martin Luther has a quote, says, so truly a Christian life is nothing other than a daily remembering of our baptism. once begun and ever to be continued. So Martin Luther would say that's the key event in our Christian faith is baptism, because it defines so many things. And one of the things we know in our baptism is that it defines who God is. Our baptism reminds us who God is. And so God is a gracious God. He says, all you have to do is just come to the font and I'll come down. You don't have to be good enough. You know, you don't have to be Hercules who has to accomplish all the feats before he can get the reward. Right? That's so many classic stories that we learn is once you do all the right steps, then you get the reward. That's not how baptism works. God says, just come and I'll come down. I'll send my Spirit. Why? Because our God is a gracious God. Our God is a God who forgives sinners. He doesn't make us jump through hoops to prove our worthiness. He says, no, come as you are, and I will make you my child. And so baptism tells us God is love. And of course, all the other remembering we do only reinforces that. He delivered them from slavery. He gave them the promised land. He died on the cross for us. As we go back in the scriptures and remember all those things, and as we tie it to baptism, part of it is we remember who God is as a God of love, a God of grace. And to connect that to our baptisms, to connect that to our own identity. And of course, baptism tells us who we are. You know, I love our introduction when we do a baptism. We are born children of a fallen humanity, but in the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. That's who we are. And that's what we need to remember over and over again. Again, the song there are so many different voices we can listen to in the world. You know, you can listen to those voices. And you know, it's amazing. They've done studies that we tend to, for every 10 positive affirmations you will receive during the day, you'll remember the one negative comment more. Isn't that true? I equate that to my golf game. You know, I can have the greatest round of golf, have all kinds of shots, and when I come home, oh man, but if I hadn't missed that one putt, I would have. The first thing I do is complain about the one bad thing. And we do that in our lives, don't we? You know, it doesn't matter, all the affirmation in the world, and we hang on to that. Oh yeah, but she said my hair looked awful. Or he said you're stupid. Or my boss didn't think you're just not good enough to do this job. Or whatever. And then we hang on, and even though we may be affirmed all over the place, we hang on to that one negative. That's what we are as humans. We do that. And God says, don't do that. Don't do that. What if I said you are? What have I said about you? Do your neighbors matter as much as God? But you'd think our neighbor was God, the way we listen to their advice rather than listen to God's voice. God says, you are my child in baptism. You are inheritor of eternal life. That's who you are. And God says, you're my child and I love you. And so baptism, when we remember, it both tells us who God is, but it tells us who we are. And that's so important because it's so easy to listen to the wrong voice. And I'm as guilty of it as the next. We all tend to go that direction. You know, studies will say that seems to be our human environment. In fact, I've seen studies that say that's all about our survival, you know, that we have to learn about those things where we get criticized or we're short so that we'll better survive. We don't make that mistake again. But sadly, we let it define who we are rather than listening to God. So one of the fundamental things we need to do is remember, and in baptism in particular, that's where God makes us his children. That's where God shows us his grace. And that becomes a sense of identity. And I don't know if you live your daily lives, but that's the call. That's the call, to live each day as a baptized child of God, loved by God, and listening to that voice. That's the challenge of life, is listening to the voice of God. And in baptism, we hear his voice. You are a child of God, an heir of salvation. Now, the other thing about baptism is it's not a one-time event, but it is meant to be a daily remembering. You know, too often people view baptism as taking out fire insurance. You know, they come to church, they get baptized, it's as if now I've got fire insurance. And they put it in the drawer, and the life or the fire insurance policy is in there, and that's the last time you think about it. That's not what baptism is meant to be. It's meant to be the beginning of a relationship with Jesus. And if we make baptism an event that simply happened in the past, we're not getting the power and we're not getting the joy that comes from daily remembering our baptism. And that was that text that we read out of Romans earlier, that we daily die to sin through confession. That's part of what becomes, that should be the rhythm of our life as Christians. Because we are all sinners, and every day there are things that we can look at to say, Lord, forgive me for things done, for things left undone, for doubt, for despair, for not trusting that you love me and are working for my good. I mean, we all go there. And so part of that is dying to that sin. You know, the other side, it's interesting, that text from Romans, you know, should we continue in sin, Paul says, so that grace may abound. That's one of the most, you know, every once in a while you'll read a passage and you'd go, what were they thinking? In Paul's time, there were people who actually said, the more I sin, the more I'll be forgiven, the more grateful I'll feel for being forgiven, so I should go on sinning. And that's why Paul says, are you crazy? I mean, that wasn't the translation, but if I were doing the translation, that's what I would write. Are you crazy? No. God doesn't want us to sin. That's just the opposite. He wants us to die to sin, that we might walk in newness of life. So part of baptism is that daily remembering, not just a fire insurance policy that gets stuck away, but daily dying to sin, daily confessing, and then daily being renewed, because that's the other thing. When we, after we confess, when we remember our baptism, we remember that spirit that is within us. So that's the promise of baptism. You don't see it, but God says, I send my Holy Spirit. You must be born, what did Jesus says, of water and the Spirit. He says, that's what happens in your baptism. You are born of water and the Spirit. And when we confess our sins, that's when it ties us back to the Spirit. We focus in on the Spirit. Lord, give me your Spirit. Guide me by your Spirit. May your Spirit direct me. And so that's the other part of baptism, is that ongoing thing, and both dynamics, dying to sin, but also rising in the power of Christ. Because as soon as we die to sin, we then turn to Christ and we say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, let your Spirit work within my life. And when that then is the focus, when we focus on that Spirit who is within us through our baptisms, then we're strengthened and renewed for living, to live as God's people. And so that's that whole thing of why that's a habit. And one of the questions the book raises is, how do we develop habits that reinforce the remembering? And so in the book, he lists five different habits that one might choose to help you remember on a regular basis. And one of those is use a daily confession of sin. If you've got a hymnal, I know a lot of people have hymnals that they've bought themselves, but in every hymnal is a basic confession of faith. And you can anymore with computers, all you have to do is type in confession of sins and you can find a variety of them. But it says, make that a habit. Make that a habit when you start your day to confess your sins. And what he says in the book is tie it to your baptism. That you say, I was baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then merciful God, and then you go through your confession. But start it with your relationship with God, even as you go into your confession. You know, the first service we were talking about the Ten Commandments, and there in the Ten Commandments, it's all about what is the relationship. Before God gives his Ten Commandments, the first thing he says is, I am the God who delivered you out of slavery into freedom. And so God doesn't say, you have to do this because I'm all powerful and you don't have a choice. You know, God's not a commandant and we're in a concentration camp where we have to obey him. No, God is the one who delivered us. And in all our remembering, we remember all those things God has done for us so that we want to serve him. And so that's the same thing. Even as we start our confession, I've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. As I confess my sins, I am confessing it to the one who claimed me as his own. But confession ties us back, helps us in that daily dying to sin and having a routine. You know, it's just like everybody's got their pew. You know, we have a spot, we people of habit, we like. You know, except Ruth now, you're on the wrong side. You're supposed to be over on this side, Ruth. I'm sorry. Next week, I expect you back in your place. No, just tease. But we are. I mean, I notice those things when you don't sit in your normal spot because we've all got them. We are creatures of habit. And so if we want the power of God to work in us, one of the ways is create habits. Create habits that we repeat over and over. Make confession a habit. You know, so what do you have to do? Get a hymnal. Go to your computer. Get a confession. Where are you going to do the confession? Set it up. You know, are you going to do it right when you get up in the morning? Are you going to do it before you go to bed? Set a time. Do it habitually. Same time. Let it be part of who you are. Another thing that's simpler is simply that proclamation, and Luther used to do that every morning. He said as soon as his feet hit the ground, he said, made the sign of the cross and said, I am baptized. Christ is with me. Practice that for the rest of Lent. As soon as your feet hit the ground, or as soon as you look in the mirror when you go to the bathroom, I am baptized. Christ is with me. Make it a habit. See if doing that simple thing doesn't change your life, doesn't start your day saying, this is who I am. So when I go to work and I have a boss that doesn't know or understand me or isn't encouraging, I am a child of God. Start with that affirmation. Start with that identity. Third thing he says in his book is just connect water with baptism. Make a conscious effort to say, when I see water, think baptism. Drinking a glass of water to give thanks for your baptism. Taking a shower, thinking of your baptism. Or as we did with the kids, you know, one of the simple things that you can do when you enter the church is dip your fingers in the bowl. That's what it's intended for. It's not holy water. It's not magic. But it's a reminder of your baptism. You know, I am a child of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. But allow water, because water is everywhere, make the connection habitually, water baptism, water baptism. The fourth thing is wear a cross or even a baptismal ID. And I, you know, when I read the book, that was one of those things that is a goal for me. And he had just what looked like, you know, GI dog tags. And he said, you can have them made up. And his suggestion was have something that says, I am baptized, I am an adopted child of God. You can do it as you wish, but so that that's your, you know, just as name, rank, and serial number on a dog tag, well, this is my name, rank, and serial number. I am baptized, adopted into God's family. You know, that's your dog tag. And what a great witnessing tool that is, too. You know, crosses people expect to see. They don't expect to see a dog tag, and that's going to elicit conversation. Well, what does that say? I am baptized, child of God. Something that you do habitually that reminds you of who you are and who God is. And the last one is just like I am baptized, have a spiritual prayer or a simple mantra that you say over and over again that ties you to your faith, to your baptism. The Spirit is my daily guide. And just say, come up with a short phrase that seems right for you, not just something somebody else says, but say, what is it that I need to hear that connects me to God? And we might need to hear different things. The Spirit is my God. My Father is my provider. Christ empowers me to love. Could be anything, but again, take a phrase that's yours and then use it. Use it in all your regular prayers and just use it during the day. Let it be something that sinks in. The key is making something habitual. We tend to be people of habit. And some of our habits are good, and some of our habits aren't so good. You know, that large bowl of ice cream just before you go to bed? Not such a good habit. It's not one of my better habits. But I love ice cream. And I love too much ice cream. Some of our habits are good, some of them are bad. We're going to have habits, folks. We're going to have habits. What the book is all about is choose to develop habits that will be positive for you. But you have to make a conscious effort. And that's why, you know, we're going to follow up this sermon series with a Bible study where we go into more in depth and kind of hold each other accountable of how are you doing establishing new habits. Because that's really is the goal. Is to take some of this stuff with you and say, now, what am I going to do to make the habit so it sticks with me? And all of them, again, when we go back to our baptism, it all goes back to who is God and who am I and how am I going to live that baptism out on a daily basis? So like the Alamo, remember the baptism. Your baptism tells you who God is and who you are. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, you are a good and gracious God. And sometimes when we go through the valleys, especially, we just need to remember your faithfulness, remember your goodness, and remember that you are with us and that we are your children. Children that you are leading on a journey, and all of us are going to get to that same destination, eternal life with you. Just remind us when the journey is hard that the end will come and we'll be with you. Amen.